Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 18th of May, recording at 9:30 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today, and it's another quite volatile one. Asian stock markets were up on the day, mostly with modest gains. European stock markets were also higher, and there were some solid gains recorded. The biggest of these I can see is the Spanish IBEX index up 3.68%, but the gains in the U.S. stock market, which took its opening cue from Asia and Europe, were reversed, and Wall Street actually closed down over 1% on the Dow, 1.4% on the S&P, and over 1.5% on the NASDAQ composite. And that selling pressure swept through the North American and South American region. I could see that Brazil down over 2,000 points, and that's not all that much for, well, that's 3.2%. And it's taking Brazil down to the lower side of its range, near that 60,000 level, which Owen and I have mentioned on a number of occasions as being rather important. And elsewhere, we see a firmer tone in long-dated government bond prices, particularly in U.S. Treasuries. Long-dated U.S. Treasury bonds in the U.S. surged. The dollar was very strong here today, and the yen, as happens when we get Wall Street week, was even stronger, or as happens in this cycle, I should say. Other evidence of that dollar strength, the euro, which has been falling daily, fell to 122.14, where it's trading right now. And sterling is down to 143.39 as I speak. Precious metals had a volatile day. They closed mixed, and platinum managed to hang on to a small gain but gave up most of it. Gold, which is the one you're probably most interested in, we saw a low down at $1,207, that I guess is $43 off the high that we saw last week. But gold is now trading at 1221.8, so that's almost unchanged on the day. And silver closed up, this is after hours price, up 16. Okay, and anything else here? Yes, of course. Crude oil, that is under the $70 level. And again, it's been quite a wide range. We've seen it down to $68.91, up to $72.52. But with Wall Street weakening, it was hit by late selling. It's currently $69.21. And that's pretty much, those are the main highlights, except the industrial metals were stronger, but those gains were paired. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, obviously we have a very nervous, volatile situation in global stock markets. Now, if we just look back a little bit, you can remember, you don't have to look back all that far. You go back to mid-April, when we were in the last of those halcyon days of that excellent, persistent 9-10-week rally that stock markets posted following their February reaction lows. That 10-week rally, carried all of the performing stock markets up to new recovery highs, and a few of them up to new all-time highs. The move inevitably, as happens when you have such persistent strength, lost upside momentum rather slowly, and then began to ease. It was technically vulnerable, as you'll recall, at the time. And then it was hit by what I have referred to on several occasions as a triple fall, I beg your pardon, as a triple waterfall of events. And sequentially, those are the SEC's indictment of Goldman Sachs for fraudulent misconduct that shocked Wall Street and markets generally at a vulnerable time. Then we had the far more serious, in economic terms, issue of Southern Europe's spiraling government bond yields. And then one of the more disturbing ones, events in terms of creating uncertainty, was Wall Street's sudden and mysterious meltdown on May 6th. Now, extraordinarily, I think this is still the case, we haven't had a clear explanation of just exactly how that occurred, although we know that it's almost inevitably due to the high-frequency trading algorithmic systems. So the machine's running amok, in other words. And then if that triple waterfall isn't enough, we also had the China tightening, which has been going on for longer than the other events. Now, well, all, or most if not all of these factors can be described in the past tense, and then one would hope that they had been therefore discounted. The trouble is that three of them prompt the uncertainty question, who's next? That, of course, refers to the possibility that other investment banks might also be indicted by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. The contagion story regarding sovereign debt, that has been papered over, but everybody knows that it hasn't gone away. So there are concerns that remain there. And then with the May 6th meltdown on Wall Street, if it can happen once, people will understandably conclude that it can happen again. So there's a lot weighing on people's nerves in here right now, and it's done technical damage. If you look through most of the world stock market indices, now they vary. They vary from the extremely weak ones, such as Greece. That's understandable. That's a bit of a special situation. The worst of the Southern European problems, to some that are really remarkably strong and still moving higher, although they tend to be among the thinner markets now, and some of them are looking quite overextended. But between those two extremes, the majority of stock market indices are looking toppy. And they are also seeing quite volatile action, which following a long, strong recovery, and it was stronger than it was long, I'm referring, of course, to last year in stock markets, to then see that activity replaced by this churning, high volume, very volatile action, sometimes not so high volume, but certainly very volatile, that is really historically a top formation characteristic more often than not. Now, we've seen also damage in terms of breaks beneath the 200-day moving averages for more stock markets. We've seen stock markets fall from those mid-April highs faster and further than we had seen in previous reactions. So pretty well all of this action is inconsistent with the upward trends that had occurred previously. So I think that for the majority of stock markets, that medium-term peaks are in place. Now, does that mean we go from a cyclical bull straight into a cyclical bear market? Well, no, I don't think so. No doubt that the weaker markets are in here, the more people will worry about that, and the more people will be inclined to forecast that. I'm not in that group now, and I'm very unlikely to be among them at any time soon, because there are some major factors here which are totally inconsistent with a serious bear trend for global stock markets. The most important one is that the monetary policy remains broadly accommodative, and that is extremely important. Short-term interest rates remain low, certainly in all the OECD countries, and they haven't gone up that much. I don't think we've barely seen any rises in China, although they have withdrawn liquidity. And I think Wang Xibao, I mispronounce his name probably, but the Chinese premier, I think it actually said today he did express some concerns about that withdrawal of liquidity. So I think China is quite likely to be reassessing against the background of its weak stock market. Overall, though, global monetary policy remains accommodative, and it just got more accommodative in Euroland. Now, we also have a favorable background in terms of corporate profits, and I don't think that any of the four factors that I mentioned that have been weighing on stock markets more recently are likely to disrupt or derail the Asian-led global economic recovery. It might slow it. Certainly, we'll see some of those European economies drift back into recession or be locked more firmly into recession because they never came out of it. But the big players on the global stage, including most of emerging Asia, are really showing very robust economic growth and rises in corporate earnings. And in the OECD countries, most companies, particularly those that are exposed to the global economy, have shown really quite good earnings. And one of the factors contributing to that is that they went into survival mode very early on when people were talking about a depression back in 2008. So they're in a healthy situation. Have a look at in the weekly view at the inventory picture. Inventories are very, very low in the US. That should help to keep global GDP growth going. Inventories are lagging sales. It's quite a fascinating graph. So there are a lot of factors here which convince me as much as one can be convinced in the uncertain world of markets and in the uncertainty in terms of dealing with the future, that we are not going to go into a really severely damaging tailspin in stock markets. The bad news in the short term is that we are experiencing, and possibly the medium term, is that we're experiencing profit erosion on equity portfolios. The good news, and again, I'll refer once again to those halcyon days in April when stock markets seemed as if they could do no wrong, and I'm sure others, lamented the fact that the trouble with the UK's annual ISA season is that you became eligible to top up your ISA accounts at what was usually an unfavorable time in stock markets. In other words, there were a few bargains around. Well, as far as I'm concerned today, all of the Fuller Money themes are fully back in play, and we are back into more of a buying region than a selling region, as far as I personally am concerned. And you may also remember that I've said on these broadcasts over and over again that the time we should be selling is when markets are doing incredibly well and animal spirits are running high. Then it's often not a bad idea to be cautious and to take a little money off the table. I don't like selling when markets are taking a beating. I'm far more interested in increasing my investments, and will certainly be doing so over the next few weeks. And then, last but not least, while the euro region is certainly suffering, and I don't doubt that growth will be down for a while, obviously. In the southern European countries, but also probably more generally. Wouldn't be surprised if we see some contraction in France and Germany, although I wouldn't bet on that. But the point I want to make is that the euro's decline is heaven sent for Germany's exporters with global markets. For instance, we saw shares of Siemens surge today. That's a share that I bought not all that long ago as a trading play, and that some subscribers I know own. So that's very much in form. Well, overall, let's expect more volatility, more rock and roll. That will be scary from time to time, but it goes with the market territory, doesn't it? I think in terms of the big picture, what are we likely to see? Well, a deeper correction. We've already got that for many markets than we saw in that sell-off earlier in the year that ended in early February. It's done technical damage. That means that it will take longer for stock markets to regroup and rebuild support and move higher again. So I think we're probably going to have a few more weeks of turbulence, and then perhaps a number of weeks, possibly several months of quieter ranging activity. But then I think the bull market the cyclical bull market will resume. That's my hunch at any rate. Okay, moving on quickly. The long-dated government bonds, as long as those yields are rising, that's not a bad thing for stock markets, but it shows the flight to quality that is taking place right now. And when confidence does start to improve, don't be surprised if those long-dated government bond yields push back up again. But they are still historically low, and looks like they're going a little bit lower in the short term. In terms of currencies, the dollar strength, as I mentioned in the beginning, continues. Now, that's starting to become a headwind, I feel, for the U.S. economy. I haven't seen anybody mentioning that yet, but arguably, the U.S. needs a soft currency as much as other highly indebted countries, and it's losing some competitive ground rapidly against Euroland's exporters, and also against the U.K. exporters. And really, Euroland represents the world's largest economy. So that may well be a growing concern among policymakers in the U.S. and also for investors in the not too distant future. Precious metals. Well, I think it's late in this medium-term cycle. I haven't liked the gyrations that we've seen in platinum and palladium recently, although they're nowhere near as volatile as some of these stock market indices have been. Again, my best case scenario is that gold, helped by the fear factor, gets one more short-term push to the upside. But I do feel, as I said, that this medium-term upcycle is is running out of time. Not the secular bull market. I doubt that we're more than halfway through the secular bull market in gold at most, but it's going to do it as markets usually do, kind of a step at a time, and there will be periodic setbacks. Crude oil, not a problem for the global economy, unless we're talking about countries with the weakest of currencies. Well, that takes us back to the Eurozone and the UK. But the point I was setting out to make is that commodity prices, for the most part, have come down quite sharply in the last month, and that will feed through to somewhat lower inflation pressures before too long. Regarding Asia, rough rice, I'll try and post that tomorrow. I did a partial chart review today. Price of rough rice has really come down. And you remember that was spiking higher, causing food riots and stories of starvation back in 2008. Well, it's really tumbled in the last several months. And no doubt we'll get some more volatility tomorrow, and I'll be commenting on it, of course, and also writing about it. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.